I bought it at the Wyuse farm sale many years ago for a very cheap price. It was written by a Jew named Shalom Feldman from Eretz Yisrael and in Bnei Brak. And it's a beautiful sefer. Most of it's halacha, in Yanam and halacha. But in the beginning, he has a beautiful psicha, a beautiful introduction to just the Purim in general. And he has here a teaching from the Chafetz Chaim that I really would like to share with you to remind us once again how precisely HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that's so much one of the themes of Purim, that Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis is so precise. Right? As some of us learned yesterday about Amalek trying to target the Vavhei of Hashem's name from the Imrei Noam. Okay, so let's learn this piece. Again, it's the Psicha to the Sefer Shalmei Toda on Purim, on Inyanei Purim. He has a few volumes. He has on Sukkis, he has on Shavuos, I think. It's a very nice Sefer, nicely written. So he titles this section of his introduction, Bidarche Hashkachaso Yizbarach, Lahakdim Refu Lamaka. The Hashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to prepare the medicine before the illness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares the solution before the problem. And an explanation, a precise explanation of the Gemara that says that Vashti had a tail. Right? My children always tell me, Daddy, we learned in school today, Vashti had a tail. So we need to understand what that means. Did Vashti literally have a tail? Did Vashti not have a tail? I'm open, obviously, to the possibility that it was literal. I don't know. But it could be also that Chazal are teaching us something deeper. What does it mean that Vashti grew a tail? For those who've heard this this explanation of the Gemara, Vashti didn't come to the party because she had a tail. Okay, so let's take a look. And it's all based on a teaching of the Chafetz Chaim, which is printed in the Hebrew biography of the Chafetz Chaim, called Chafetz Chaim Chayav U'Pa'alo, the Chafetz Chaim, his life and his works. But since it's written out more ba'arichas here, it's a little bit easier to learn it from the Sefer Shalmei Toda. Okay, so let's look. B'Megillas Esther Perak Aleph. V'timayin Hamalka Vashti Levo B'Dvar HaMelech. We know that Vashti refused to come to Ahasuerus's party. The understanding is that Ahasuerus asked her to come wearing nothing other than the crown, and she refused to appear. So the Gemara says, why didn't she come to the party? My time alo ase. Why didn't she come to the party? It seems, after all, the Gemara says that Vashti was not much more of a tzaddikas than Ahasuerus. So why did she refuse to come to the party? Undressed. Seemingly that's something in her perverse worldview she would have been open to. So the Gemara says, "B'masnisa Tana, it was taught in the Braisa, Bo Gavriel v'asala zanav. It was taught, a teacher of Braisa was taught, because Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, came and gave her a tail. Gave her a tail. The Alshech actually has a girsa v'asala zanav al metzcha, that she had a tail growing out of her forehead, or I guess what we would call a horn. Okay. Very strange. So she was embarrassed. She looked weird. She didn't want to come to the party. So the Chafetz Chaim explained in the most beautiful way. In the biography of the Chafetz Chaim Chayav U'Pa'alo, the Chafetz Chaim, his life and his works. Hevi b'shem Chafetz Chaim Zatzal, the following explanation. Dihine b'Sanhedrin Isa. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the following story. Nebuchadnezzar, who of course was the Melech of Babel, the one who was responsible for the first Beis HaMikdash, he began his career with humble beginnings. Anyone know what Nebuchadnezzar did in his younger years? Nebuchadnezzar betchila haya sofer shel Beladan Melech Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar started off his career as a sofer, as a scribe, in the court of Beladan, who was the king of Babel at the time. Vehu lo haya mizer hamalucha. Nebuchadnezzar was not from royal stock. He was not part of the royal family. And what happened? Uvaos zman nasa nes gadol lechizkiyo hamelech. And it was at that time that Nebuchadnezzar was serving as the scribe of the king of Babel, that a wondrous thing happened to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. What happened? Shechizkiyahu chala ma'od. Chizkiyahu was terribly sick. V'nata lamus. V'akadosh Baruch Hu rifeh so. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was very sick. The Jewish king Chizkiyahu was very sick. He was on the verge of death, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a refuah. It was an unbelievable turnaround. Mamish tchiyas ha'meisim. Uvchdei lefarsim ze hanes herech haKadosh Baruch Hu asayom va'omer haShemesh milavo b'shvilo. Hashem made wondrous things happen. The sun stood at its place on that day. It was mamish an unbelievable thing. Va'oso ayom haya aruch shmona asar shos. And that day, instead of being a 12-hour day, it was an 18-hour day. Unbelievable. It was a big neis. Everyone knew about it. Everyone heard about it. Ukishishama zos baladan melech Bavel. So when the king of Bavel heard the news about this wondrous recovery of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, so he sent him the following letter. He wanted to write him a letter. Tziva lichtov igeres shalom l'Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He wanted to send a letter of good tidings to Chizkiyahu HaMelech. I heard the good news. I heard you had a refuah shlema. V'kosvu hasofrim asai geres. So the scribes began to record the letter. They wrote the letter. U'mitchila kosvu. And here's how they wrote the letter. This is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, they wrote the following letter. Shalma l'malka Chizkiyah. Shalom aleichem to the king Chizkiyah. Shalom lekarta d'Yerushalayim. Shalom aleichem to the city of Yerushalayim. Shalom lelaka rabba. And shalom to the great God of the Jews. Shalom to Chizkiyah. Shalom to Yerushalayim. Shalom to the great God of the Jews. Vishalchuhu, and they sent a letter. Chevra, where was Nebuchadnezzar? Where was Nebuchadnezzar at that time? He was one of the scribes of the king. Was he involved in writing the letter? No, he was not. Nebuchadnezzar was on his lunch break. And Nebuchadnezzar was not present when the letter was written. Nebuchadnezzar lo hayasham ba'usashah kishakosvu asei geras. When that letter was being recorded, Nebuchadnezzar was nowhere to be found. V'acher kach ishabah, when he comes back from his lunch break or whatever it was, shal esasov from eich chasvu asei geras. So he asked his fellow scribes, Nu, how did you write the letter? V'amrulo, and they said to him, Amar lahem. So he said back to them, when he heard what the letter was, Shalom Aleichem Chizkiyah, Shalom Aleichem Yishalayim, Shalom Aleichem to the Jewish God, Amar Lahem, he said to them, Krisu Lei Eloka Rabba, Uchsivaso Lei Levasof? You call the Jewish God a great God, but you mention him last? What kind of letter is this? Shalom Aleichem to King Chizkiyah, Shalom to Yishalayim, Shalom to the great God of the Jews who brought about this unbelievable miracle. How do you not mention God first? What kind of letter is this? V'tziva sheyichtavu igeres acheres. You need to rewrite the letter. Now the letter's already in the mail. However, the letter's already on its way to Yerushalayim. But he said you need to rewrite the letter. Shalom l'alokor rabo. Shalom l'karta d'Yerushalayim. Shalom l'malka Chizkiyah. Fix the letter. Shalom to the Jewish God. Shalom to Yerushalayim, the holy city. And shalom to the king Chizkiyah. Va'amru lo hasofrim. So the scribe said to him, Kraina de igrisa I lehevi parvanka. What does that mean? That's a hard Aramaic phrase. Perish. Sha'ata hu ama'orer lecholze. Va'ata teilich v'tachzir asay geres harishona. Shekvar shalchua v'nechta v'geres chadasha. So they said, the one who kind of figured this out should be the one to bring about the schus. Okay, so this is your chiddush. So you go chase after the guy who's delivering the first letter, and you rewrite the second letter, and you change the letter. You do it. If this is your idea, if you're the one who came up with this great realization, so you should be the one to send the letter. You should be the one. Right? The one who read the letter should be the one to carry out the news. In other words, the one who realized this should be the one to bring about that turn of events. So go catch up. Go catch up to the shliach. He's already halfway through Yerushalayim. Go chase him down. And then tell him we got to switch the letter. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Nebuchadnezzar began running. Now think about this. He's running for Hashem. He's running for the covenant of Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first base of Mikdash, who would go from being the scribe of Baladan, Melech Bavel, to becoming himself the king of Bavel. So he starts running after that letter. Nebuchadnezzar ruts miyad, he immediately hit the road, chasing after the shliach to get back the first letter. After taking four steps, he took four quick steps. Vigirsas hamedrash v'halyalkut. And according to the version of this story that appears in the Midrashim, it says, Kadrohit shalosh psios. After he took not four steps, but three steps, Asa Gavriel v'ukme. Gavriel, the Malach, it's amazing Gemara, Chavar, listen to this Gemara, Sanhedrin daf tzadivav. The Malach Gavriel came, v'ukme, and he carried him. The Malach Gavriel came down from Shemayim, picked up Nebuchadnezzar, and carried him to the letter carrier, to get him there more quickly. Nebuchadnezzar took 4 steps, or according to one opinion, 3 steps. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmale bo Gavriel v'amidu l'Nebuchadnezzar, lo haya takana l'sorneim shel Yisrael. Had Gavriel not come and picked up Nebuchadnezzar, there would have been no hope for the enemies of Israel, which is a euphemism for Bnei Yisrael themselves. Had Nebuchadnezzar not been carried by the Malach Gavriel, it would have been the end of Klal Yisrael. It would have been the destruction of the Jewish people. Very deep Gemara. Very, very deep Gemara. Of Amru Chazal, so the Gemara asks, Mahay Ascharol Shon Nebuchadnezzar? What was the reward? Look at the reward for a person who ran a couple of steps for Hashem. Have something to think about, you know? To run for Hashem. He ran a couple of steps. What was the reward for Nebuchadnezzar for taking 3 steps or 4 steps for Hashem, depending on the Gemara or the Medrash's version? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said to Nebuchadnezzar, you took steps in my honor. Ata pasata shalosh psios bishvil kvod shemi. You took several steps for my honor. Chayecha, says Hashem, by your life. Hashem, it's a lashon of shvua. Hashem says, I swear to you, shani ma'amid mimcha shalosh malachim. You're going to be blessed with 3 generations of what? 3 generations of Malchus. Because you took 3 steps in honor of my kingdom, Hashem says, in honor of my name, I'm going to make you a Melech, and I'm going to make your descendants kings. Connected those 3 steps, 3 generations of royalty. Ve'eluhem, and these are they. Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Meroidach, and his son Belshazzar. 3 generations of royalty in reward for taking 3 steps on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But friends, you know the question. The question is, one version of the Gemara says that he took 4 steps. So did he take 3 steps or did he take 4 steps? And the Chafetz Chaim has the following suggestion, which is such a deep idea. The Chafetz Chaim says, and again, I'm showing you this not only to show you how the Chafetz Chaim was sensitive to a slight difference of a girsa and a medrash versus a Gemara, but look how the Chafetz Chaim saw in this such a deep lesson in Hashgacha Pratis. Was it 3 steps? Was it 4 steps? Explain the Chafetz Chaim. V'hinei b'gemara ha-girsa kadroed arba psios. The Medrash's version, the Yalkut Shimoni, which is another Medrash, the version in the Midrashim is shalosh psios. But the version in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadivav is not 3 steps, but 4 steps. Explains the Chafetz Chaim, de'ein kan plugta, chever, there's no machlokes, uve emes, rot, shalosh, shlosha, psios, shlemos, Nebuchadnezzar took 3 full steps, uke shehischir, lepsoa, psi, ravias, and when he started to take that 4th step, Gavriel came, and he picked him up in the middle of that 4th step. Nu, so how many steps did he take? How many steps did he take? Did he take 3 steps or 4 steps? No, what's the answer, Avi? He took 3.5 steps. Nebuchadnezzar took, Seth, 3.5 steps. What's the secret of 3.5 steps? 3 steps, 4 steps. Not a machlokas between the Medrash and the Gemara. When the Gemara says he took 4 steps, it means he started the 4th step. When the Medrash says 3 steps, it means 3 full steps. He took 3.5 steps. He was in the middle of the 4th step. And at that precise moment, the Malach Gavriel swooped down from Shemayim, scooped him up, and carried him the rest of the way. What's the pshat? V'lo hispik lahashlim hapsiya haravias. He wasn't able to complete the 4th step. Shekotu Gavriel b'emsa. Gavriel cut him off in the middle. V'nimsa shalo pasa elamixas psiya haravias. He only took part of the 4th step. And therefore, when the Medrash and the Yalkut Shimoni count 3 steps, is counting 3 full steps. And when the Gemara talks about 4 steps, it's talking about even partial steps. So now, friends, what did the Medrash say? In the schus of 3 steps, Nebuchadnezzar became king, his son Evil Merodach became king, and his grandson Belshazzar became king. But there's really a 4th generation. Who comes after Belshazzar? Chevra, who comes after Belshazzar? Who comes after Belshazzar? A woman that you've heard of. Her name is Vashti. The 4th generation from Nebuchadnezzar is Vashti. Says the Chafetz Chaim, listen to this, it's such a gevaldik vart. And it shows, look at the Hashgacha Pratis mamish, into a half of a step. Ulefiza yizbar hetiv. Be'ezes chus malcha Vashti. In what merit did Vashti become a queen? And why was her kingdom, why was her reign only a partial reign? Why was Vashti uprooted suddenly in the middle of her, in the middle of her melucha? Now keep in mind that Ahasuerush was not from royal stock. Vashti was from the royal class. Again, once Nebuchadnezzar became king. Once Nebuchadnezzar became king, a new line of kings and queens emerged. Nebuchadnezzar, Evil Meroidach, Belshazzar, Vashti. Ahasuerush married into the royal family. Ahasuerush was not royalty. That's why the Gemara says that Vashti says to him, you're the stable boy of my father. You're a nobody. Right? You're a commoner, Ahasuerush. Forgetting the fact that I guess she herself once upon a time came from, you know, from common stock. But now she's already fourth generation Malchus. So Vashti becomes queen. And she's queen for what? She's queen for half of her reign. Well, the Fize is Bar Hatev. So now we understand. In what merit was Malki, was Vashti the Malka? Shahaisa Gamke Mizar Nebuchadnezzar. She's the fourth generation. She's the daughter of Belshazzar. Fourth generation of Nebuchadnezzar. But wait, I thought Nebuchadnezzar was only given three generations of Malchus for three steps, and she's the fourth generation. So why, in fact, is she queen at all? V'lama higia lazos. Ela b'schus miksas hapsiya harevius. But in the merit of that half of a step, that half of a fourth step, zachsa gam hi l'malchus, Vashti became a queen. But because, friends, because it was only half a step, Vashti was not queen for a full reign. Her malchus was cut short. She was only half of a queen. It's interesting. When Ahasuerush says to Esther, what can I give you up to half of the Malchus? It's almost like Esther's the other half of Vashti's Malchus. V'nokta Malchusa b'emsa. Her Malchus was uprooted in the middle. U'v'mekoma ba'Esther ha'malka she'itzila es Yisrael migzeras haman. So friends, now we understand what Rabbi Yochanan said. Chever, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan said if the Malach Gavriel hadn't come at exactly that moment and stop Nebuchadnezzar from taking that fourth step, so then what would have happened? If Nebuchadnezzar takes that fourth step, then Vashti has what? Then Vashti's a queen. And Vashti's reign is not able to be cut short. And if Vashti's reign is not able to be cut short, then Esther doesn't come to power. And if Esther doesn't come to power, then there's no Klal Yisrael because Haman's Gezerah becomes true. Haman destroys the Jews. So now he understands it's the Chofetz Chaim. To Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Ilmale ba Gavriel, had Gavriel not come at precisely that moment, the Midul Nebuchadnezzar and carried away Nebuchadnezzar, Lo haya takana l'soneim shel Yisrael, there would have been no salvation, there would have been no hope for the Jewish people. So Neim shel Yisrael again is a euphemism. It means the enemies of the Jews, but it means Bnei Yisrael. Va'akavana bizman gzeras haman rasha. Had Gavriel not stopped Nebuchadnezzar from taking that fourth step, then the Malchus of Vashti would have been a Malchus Shlema. Vashti would not have been uprooted in the middle. And therefore there would have never been an Esther. There never would have been an Esther who saves the day. There would not have been someone to remove the evil plan of Haman HaRasha. There would have been no hope for the Jewish people. So now, Chevra, look how the Chofetz Chaim goes a step further. The Chofetz Chaim says, going back now to the Gemara in Maseches Megillah on Daf Yud Beis, who's the one who gave Vashti a tail? The Gemara says it's Gavriel. The same Malach Gavriel who came in Sanhedrin or in the Medrash to what? To stop Nebuchadnezzar from taking that fourth step, to stop the Malchus of Vashti from being a complete Malchus, is the same Gavriel who comes to give Vashti a tail. And what does a tail mean? Did Vashti actually have a tail? If we went back in time, would we see a tail or a horn growing out of Vashti's forehead? I don't know. But says the Chofetz Chaim, as a metaphor, you know what a tail means? What's a tail? A A tail is the end of something, right? The tail is the protrusion, the end of the body, the extension of the body. A tail represents, right, sort of the end of a creature. So therefore, the Malach Gavriel comes and places a tail on Vashti as if to say, what? Vashti, this is the tail end of your Malchus. Your Malchus is not going to be a complete Malchus. V'hainu de'oso Malach Gavriel, the same Malach Gavriel, look how precise Hashem runs the world. The same Malach Gavriel who stopped Nebuchadnezzar from taking that fourth step and cut short the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar is the same one who comes to Vashti. Va'asa la zanav, he places a tail or a horn on Vashti, as if to say, Hifzik es malchusa shel Vashti. Ad kan, your zchus only goes so far. The zchus of your great grandfather only goes so far. V'zanav perish ha'aruch, the aruch, which is an ancient dictionary. The aruch explains that a zanav, of course, is a tail, but the idea of a tail is what is the keitz v'sof, is the end of something. So whether or not Vashti actually had a tail, I'm not sure. But the Malach Gavriel came to, so to speak, identify the end of Vashti's reign. And it was Dafka because the Malach Gavriel stopped Nebuchadnezzar from taking that fourth step. Vashti's kingdom is cut short. Esther comes to power and Klal Yisrael are saved. V'hainu shezeh yasimen shehigia keitz malchusa. This is the end of Vashti. V'hu zeh Gavriel shehishlim ata es shlichuso. And this is the same Gavriel who's now back to complete the shlichus. Ad kan toichin dvarav. These are the words of the Holy Chafetz Chaim. Udivrei piv chacham chen. And the words of a chacham are very sweet. And it's mamish a sweet vart. Because it shows what? It shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeping score in such a precise way. It shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu generation before Haman even existed. Before Vashti ever existed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making sure that his beloved Klal Yisrael will be protected. Look at the unbelievable Hashkacha Pratis, and again, what the Gemara calls Tim Refua Lamaka. Hashem prepares the medicine before the illness. Friend, final paragraph. V'hinei b'megillas Esther Perek Gimel Ksiv. Achar hadvarim ha'ela gidal ha'melech ha'chashverosh as Haman ben Hamdasa ha'agagi. It was after these things. Haman comes to power. After what things? Achar hadvarim ha'ela? After what things? After the events of Perek Beis of the Megillah. What do you mean after these? After what things? Says the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. My achar advarim. What does it mean after these things? Amar Rava, achar shabara akadosh baruch hu refua lamaka. After these things means after Hashem has already moved around the pieces, after Hashem has made it that Vashti will no longer be in charge, that Esther will be able to become the queen. It's only then, after Hashem has prepared the medicine, that Hashem then allows Haman to rise in power. Perish, she Esther nasis Malka. Once you have Esther a Malka, then you can have the wicked Achashverosh thinking, and the wicked Haman thinking he's in charge. The Omer Reish Lakish, as Reish Lakish taught, and we have to live with this every day of our life. On the down days, so to speak. We have to know that everything is already worked out. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maka Es Yisrael, Reish Lakish taught, Hashem does not strike Klal Yisrael. Elim kein borei lahem refua tchila. Hashem always prepares the medicine before the illness. It's all worked out. How it's going to work out, when it's going to work out, we don't know. But we have to live with the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not send the tzara until Hashem has first put into place the refua, the salvation. V'kasa b'sefer chai olam. And the stipler explains in his sefer chai olam. U'mavuar. Shall kol tzara v'al kol tzar. Every difficulty, everything that a person endures in this world, Shabbat la'adam, yesh kvar refua muchana od mikodem Shabbat tzara. There's always a solution. We don't see the solution sometimes. But we have to live with the realization there is a solution, there is a plan. Look how present the Malach Gavriel came to interrupt Nebuchadnezzar mid-step, because four generations later there was going to be a wicked Haman. Look at the Hashkacha practice here. This is how the Chafetz Chaim lived his life. And this, again, is a theme that we keep coming back to in our preparation for Purim. To live with that awareness of Hashem. V'tzarech rak lizakos liros asarafua v'atikot. We have to daven that we should be zochet to see everything work out. But we have no sveikos about things working out. V'zos he'adiyo hu idud v'chizuk shlo yipol b'yeyush b'yosu b'meitzar. And this is the biggest chizuk that a person could get. When things are looking not good,
Just know. It's not, oh, I hope Hashem has a plan. And no, Hashem Vada has a plan. The plan's already in place. If you could see, you'd know the plan is already worked out. Right? It's already worked out. You know, there's a mashal, Rav Avram Yeshua, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky recently passed away. So he has a mashal in one of his svarim. He says it's like a person who's watching a sporting event that's been recorded, and you already know the end of the game. You already know who's going to win, right? So imagine your team is down, you know, your team is down at halftime. Your team is, you know, is down by, you know, by like a seemingly insurmountable score, right? And now imagine you're watching the game with your friend, and you know that your team is going to come back and win. And your friend doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't know the end of the game. He doesn't realize that the game was already pre-recorded. So he's all nervous. He's freaking out. You know, oh my gosh, our team's going to lose. They're going to get knocked out of the playoffs. And you're sitting there, calm as can be. You're not worried at all. Aren't you nervous? Nah. They're down by so many points. There's no way they're going to come back. Nah. I'm confident. I'm confident our team can come back. You're confident because you know it's already worked out, right? You know the end of the score. You know it was already the greatest comeback of all time. So when you're watching the game, when you're just watching watching the recording of the game, you already know the end of the game. So Rav Avraham Yeshua Twersky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, said the same thing is true with Klal Yisrael. The same thing is true with a Jew who understands Ein Shum Yeyesh Pa'olam Klal means that it's all worked out. How it's going to work out, I don't know. I don't have the answers. But what a chizik to know that everything is prepared in advance. When everything looks convoluted, there's no way to get out of the mess. Rak Yispal, V'yavakesh Rachamim. The only thing we need to daven is that Hashem should reveal that goodness to us. To be osik b'torah v'mitzvos Hashem Shemayim, and to hope that I should be zocha k'haref ayin to see that Yeshua Hashem. But ein shum yeyush ba'olam klal. I'll just end with a beautiful remez that Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger brings in his farm in the Sefer Vayoshet HaMelech on Megillas Esther. He says that we know at the party of Achashverosh that everything was done in accordance, Chazal say, in accordance with Mordechai and Haman. Right? That Mordechai and Haman were sort of overseeing the party of Achashverosh, as the Pasuk says, that at the party everything was kiratzon ish v'ish. Everything was in accordance with the desire, the ratzon of ish v'ish. So Avraham Tzvi Kluger says, who's ish v'ish? The Medrash says, the Chazal say. Chazal say, ish is ish Yehudi haya b'shushan abira. One mention of the word ish refers to Mordechai. Va'ish refers to Haman. Right? Ish, tsar, va'oyev, Haman, hara. So Mordechai is called an ish and Haman's called an ish. They're both called ish in Megillah. So when it says the party of Achashverosh was ki'ish va'ish, it's in accordance with ish, in accordance with Mordechai, va'ish and Haman. Rav Kluger writes, Rav Kluger Shlita writes in his Sefer, he says, ish is Rosh Tevos ein shum yeyush. Mordechai represents that world of Ein Shum Yeyesh, never to give up hope. And Va'ish, if you look at the word Va'ish, which we're saying represents Haman, is the letters Yeyesh, right? Va'ish, the Vav, is the letters of Yeyesh. So Haman, Amalek, is the world of Yeyesh. You know why? Because Amalek is guaranteed to fall. The Pasuk says in Chumash that Amalek is going to be eradicated. And Klal Yisrael, Vatischak Liyom Acharon. Right, the laughter of Purim is the laughter of the end of days because we're guaranteed it's going to work out. It doesn't matter how crazy it gets. It doesn't matter how diabolical the plot of Haman is and how much it looks like we're going to be finished off. We're going to be fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiktum refu lamaka. So the Chafetz Chaim wants us to live with that. The Chafetz Chaim wants us to realize not only in a general sense does HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepare the medicine before the illness, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most precise way, 3.5 steps of Nebuchadnezzar, is the way to prepare that Vashti should be removed, that Esther should come to power, that Klal Yisrael should be saved. And that's the biggest chizik in the world. To not panic for a second. Chevra, it's all worked out. Everything, Mashiach is completely worked out. The ride might get a little crazy. But be the guy who's sitting on the couch, so to speak, watching the rerun of the game. Right? You know the end of the score. You know Vatislach Liyom Acharon. We're going to get the last laugh. It's going to work out fine. Somehow, all the craziness of Gullis, it's all going to come together in a beautiful way, and there's going to be a Geula. We have nothing to worry about. Okay, so this is the magnificent insight of the Heilige Chafetz Chaim. Again, what a read on a Gemara, and to be able to put together the Gavriel in the Gemara in Sanhedrin is the same as the Gavriel in the Gemara in Megillah, who comes to give Vashti the tell. It's all mamish precisely worked out in Shemayim. Okay? We should live with such a belief in Hashgacha Pratis in our life.